Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is January 8th, 2021. Oh my God! The Coconuts Podcast is your home for top trending news and pop culture from all across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Summer Lee.
And I'm Vim Shanmugam.
What's up, Vim?
What is up? 2021, man. We survived 2020.
But now, like, you know, as we're recording this, right, you know, there's like, you know, just a lot of fun stuff happening in the Capitol in the U.S. Like, we're watching The Purge, but kind of live action.
Like 2021 couldn't even, like, wait, right? Like give us, like, a week or 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks of, like, peace and quiet. Couldn't even get that.
Somebody said on Twitter that, like, 2021 is just the new strain of 2020, and I had to go and lie down for a second.
Evolved.
So yeah, I guess, like, you know, to nobody's surprise, this pandemic is still ongoing, but now we just have more fun stuff, it seems, every day.
I, for one, thought that, like, once it hit, like, December 31st on 2020, everything will be fine. Like, I was completely convinced.
We thought Miss Rona would leave, but looks like she's here to stay.
Yeah, and she might be getting some implants and some Botox because, you know, COVID-21.
She really said new year, new me. So, like, if anything, like, she's consistent. So good for her. But not really, not good for her.
That's really true. Are you, so speaking of new year, new me, are you a resolution type person or no?
I don't know. Because, like, I am currently 24, turning 25 this year. So, like, there was going to be this list of shit that I would do before I turned 25. But, like, Miss Rona threw that out the fucking window. So at this point, I'm like, do I want to say anything that I want to achieve out loud? Because she's just going to take it from me, the evil bitch.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, like, resolutions are just like, why? Why bother? Like, we're in enough pain already.
Yeah, I know, right? But I guess if we're being hopeful, I resolve to make better use of my time indoors or with my circle of 8 friends, if I can find 8 friends that we can hang out with.
Yes, because in Singapore now you can have, well, you can't have 8 friends, right? You can groups of eight. You can meet up with people, like, you know, in groups of 8 and dine out and then hang out outside. What about homes? Is that still like a thing?
Because, like, with 5 guests in phase 2 of reopening, it was like, but you could have 5 guests over for a total of 6. But if you sit outside in a restaurant, it is groups of 5. So it's like, what is the math? I need to go and Google that for a second.
Well, time to update your MySpace top friends.
Oh, God. You just revealed your age, bruh.
Hey, don't knock MySpace. It was cool once upon a time. When we didn't have things like the coronavirus.
Oh, good old days.
Advertise with our in-house agency, Grove. Fast, funny, digital. Join forces with us to slay buzzwords, rise above the noise, and sow the seeds of something great. Get in touch via coconuts.co/grove.
And now for our top stories. We start off in beautiful Bali, where at Kuta Beach, there has been a sighting. Mermaid has spoken about her viral protest over single-use plastics. So a mermaid has washed up upon the shores of Kuta Beach.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
You're not a real mermaid. Hopefully people don't take that at face value. A lady by the name of Laura in Waterland, basically she's a social media influencer to some extent, but more importantly, she's an ocean advocate from Belgium, and she was actually filmed, well, she had photos taken of herself kind of sprawled on Kuta Beach with all types of plastics around her. So during the storm season, there's a lot of garbage and plastic that washes up onto the beach, and it's really actually quite bad. Like, it basically covers up the beach, and she took a couple photos of herself in the middle of this sort of pool of like plastics, and so she's trying to raise awareness and kind of let people know, and especially corporations know, that, you know, they shouldn't be using single-use plastics. They're polluting the ocean, and, you know, there are 80 tons of litter that was actually like washed up along beaches in the area in just within the first like 3 days of 2021. So that's the amount of like garbage that like, you know, is being washed up in, you know, from the ocean. Bali did ban single-use plastics in June 2019, but, you know, there are still corporations like Coca-Cola, Danone, Nestle, PepsiCo, Unilever that she's trying to challenge, I guess, to step up their game and make sure that we clean our oceans and clean our beaches.
I think she has a freaking point. Just like looking at the pictures, you really have to go look at the pictures. It is a shit ton of trash.
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where like, I think cleaning up the oceans is definitely like crucial. I actually thought that, you know, the last year, because everyone was inside, well, most people were inside, that, you know, that oceans would be clearer. And I think some of them are, but now we're hearing that like all the masks that we've been using have ended up in the ocean as well. And just judging by the amount of like masks that, you know, we use, because most of them are single use. I don't think a lot of people, a lot of people do use, I guess, like the washable types, but even those have like a lifespan, right? I don't think you can use them like forever. So yeah, somehow like this trash keeps on ending up in the poor ocean. So yeah, she's doing good work, and let's hope people get aware.
Mm-hmm. And over in Manila, just speaking about trash, holy shit, this is kind of a very horrific story. So definitely trigger warning about sexual assault as well.
Yes.
But yeah. Yep. So 11 suspects were charged with provisional rape and homicide in Christine De Serra's death. So for those that don't know, an employee of Philippine Airlines, 23-year-old Christine Angelica De Serra, was found lifeless in a Makati Hotel bathtub after spending the night on New Year's Day partying with her colleagues and acquaintances. So she was brought to Makati Medical Center for treatment, but was declared dead on arrival. And the authorities said that her body had abrasions and hematoma, and there were indications that she was sexually assaulted. But yeah, Makati Police Chief Colonel Harold Depositar told the Philippine Daily Inquirer that they are filing cases of provisional rape because they have yet to receive the autopsy and toxicology results, which should be released soon. And yeah, he insisted that the rape charge had a basis, saying that Christine had lacerations and sperm in her genitalia. It's real fucked up. But yeah, he added that the victim technically died of an aneurysm, but there have been factors that led to it. And as of today, only 3 of the suspects have been arrested by the police, and we're going to say their names because fuck them. Yeah. John Pascual de la Serena III, he's 27 years old and a little bitch. Romel Daluro Galido, who's 29, and John Paul Reyes Halili, who's 25. So the Makati police have yet to find the remaining 8 suspects, and here's to hoping they go to fucking jail. And yeah, even Christine's mom, Sharon De Serra, spoke to news program 24 Horas, and she said that she allowed Christine to go to the party because she trusted her daughter's colleagues. That's so sad. And yeah, Coconuts Manila has reached out to the Makati police, but the investigating officer assigned to the case was unavailable. So yeah, I guess so. We just have to wait and see if justice will be served. And we hope the heck so. Like this, the fact that this is still happening in 2021. Oh my God. And I feel like I've just been saying that all year in 2020.
The fact that this shit is still happening in 2020.
Yeah. But yeah, sad.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much to say about this except that, like, I mean, it's a horrific, horrific, horrific story. You know, no one wants to start the new year this way. And obviously, like, you know, for someone to lose their lives, you know, and on top of that, be sexually assaulted. Yeah, kind of a grim situation. And yeah, like you said, Summer, like, I mean, hope all those assholes get like caught. And yeah, look, there's a special place in prison for rapists. So
rest and also hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if if they go to certain prisons, I think that's going to be a hell enough, like, to what's going to happen to them. But I mean, in all honesty, like, this is just, I mean, in 2021, I think, you know, you want to say you're beyond, like, we're beyond this, but we're not, you know. And I think there's still need to be heavy punishments and obviously like safety protocols for everything, you know. But I think the fact that her mom said that, you know, she trusted her daughter with, you know, like these people who are supposed to be her colleagues and friends, this is just like a terrible, horrific nightmare for any parent.
Yeah.
Well, I guess staying on the unfortunately like grim stories that we have to start off 2021, in Indonesia, Jakarta, President Jokowi signs a regulation validating chemical castration as punishment for pedophiles. So President Widodo signed a government regulation giving teeth to a controversial law that will punish convicted child molesters with chemical castration. I think this is, I don't want to say prevalent, but like it's common in some parts of Indonesia. And this is a very, very strict law that they want to put down on convicted, by the way, convicted child molesters. Within the law, a convicted child molester can be chemically castrated for a period of up to 2 years per offense. They'll also have to wear electronic tracking device. And of course, like it's not mutually exclusive. They could be chemically castrated and wear the device, or either or. But in either case, it will only be for up to 2 years. Unfortunately, some rights groups have different opposing views on this. The National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, they felt that, you know, this punishment is a little bit sort of bringing back Indonesia to a very draconian dark age. But the National Commission on Violence Against Women, Komnas Perempuan, feel that, you know, it's not just a case of like temporarily like taking away child molester sexual desires. They feel that that's not going to solve the problem. The reality is that, like, unfortunately, in Jakarta, in Indonesia, a lot of, sexual violence and sexual assault against children comes from not just sexual hormones, but because there is a power discrepancy or, it's essentially like, you know, someone in power or seniority trying to prey on someone younger. So there's a lot of like complicated, like, views on this. It is a very controversial law, but it's one of those like tricky ones, right? Like I think that, yeah, you know, like if you're a pedophile, you need to be in prison and you need to get the help that you need to get. You know, if you need to be sexually, like, I mean, if you want, you need to be chemically castrated in prison, I think that should be something that, you know, could be done. But as long as you're in prison, you shouldn't be able to come out, man. Like, I don't think that it should be let out. I don't think there is a way to I'm not like an expert in the science behind it or the psychology behind it, but, you know, I think you know what you're doing. I feel like sometimes they say it's a sickness, and to a certain extent I think it is, but I think you also, there are ways to sort of like curb a sickness, you know? So I think any rehab, if there is rehab, should be done behind the grills.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you, I see like all sides of it. I don't know the science, but I can respond with anger. I'm real good at that. But yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know about human rights. And does this guy deserve human rights if he's going to like violate children? And like, I don't know. If you don't know how to use your dick, perhaps like that right should be removed from you. I see that as a justification for this, but
Yeah.
I don't know what a perfect solution is. And it sucks because it's like, this shit's still happening again.
And I understand like the view on like someone in power preying on someone else. I mean, I guess this doesn't even just pertain to children, and pertains to like women as well, or in the workplace, or you know, in like any situation. So I think like I do agree with that part of it. Like, I don't think just like chemically castrating someone is going to take away their desires or like, you know, their powers or whatever. But I think like physically, like, I think it does. So maybe that step, I don't know. But yeah, like I said, like, I think like once you have been convicted of a heinous crime like this, I do think that, you know, you get the chance to find, you want to, maybe you have to like grow out of it or get the rehab or get the help that you need. But I think it should be behind grills, and you should never be allowed back. That's just me. Don't hate.
Yeah, it'd be cool if we had that like Black Mirror thing where you could like literally cancel a person. Like, when you look at a person, it's just a gray blob. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Not even like just, yeah, not even like see them, not even like them existing in your, life.
Mm-hmm. Love to see it.
Yeah.
And over in Singapore, Balakrishnan didn't think of police probes when assuring Singaporeans of trace together privacy. So here in Singapore, we have the trace together system that was introduced since the birth of Ms. Rona, that bitch. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's been made easier for contact tracing, you know, just in case people around you have been confirmed to have the virus. Yeah. So now it's like, it has a little controversy because like, mm-hmm. there is a gray area as to what this information will be used for. Because at first, it was said that this information, which tracks your location and your proximity between users, because you need Bluetooth on for this. And even when you turn off the Bluetooth, girl, I used this app once. Like when I turn off the Bluetooth, they were like, they sent a notification to my phone that was like, your Bluetooth is off. And, you know, Trace Together needs Bluetooth to be on. So I'm like, damn, they're really tracking my shit. So now it seems like this information may be used for something else.
Mm.
So Singapore ministers Vivian Balakrishnan and K. Shanmugam took over the mics in Parliament this week to address privacy concerns. After it was revealed that data gathered by the Trace Together system could be accessed for criminal investigations.
Yeah.
So Balakrishnan, who's in charge of Singapore's digitalization movement, admitted in front of parliamentarians that he had not thought about the Criminal Procedure Code, known as the CPC, when assuring Singaporeans last year that the information collected through the Trace Together coronavirus tracking app and the token could be accessed by the police when probing criminal cases, such as terrorism or murder. But yeah, K. Shanmugam, who is the Minister of Home Affairs, also jumped in to say that the use of data would be restricted to very serious offences.
Balakrishnan went on to say, "Frankly, I had not thought of the CPC when I spoke earlier. After I realised that the CPC applied to this, I did have sleepless nights wondering, should I persuade my colleagues to change the law?"
Oh, girl, you had sleepless nights. Me too. But yes, of course, you know, this has been met with a lot of backlash over the lack of transparency. And yeah, this was only recently revealed. So, of course, Twitter.com was set ablaze with anger.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Of course. I mean, anyone would be pissed. Like, I think one of the users said that he feels it's a breach of public trust and, you know, and it was, you know, this consent was given to personal privacy for a very specific use. Now it's been going to be used for something else.
Yeah. And like people on Twitter.com are pointing out that, you know, the website for Trace Together, they've taken out the clause where they have said that the data would be used exclusively for contact tracing.
Mm. Mm.
Bit of a pile of poo-poo here.
Yeah. I mean, I think I called this one. I think I knew that was going to happen, which is why I probably haven't gone to any KTVs just to be safe. JK, you can't go to a KTV in Singapore unless you take a COVID test.
Yeah. There's going to be a pilot program that KTVs can sign up for where customers don't have to produce a negative COVID test before entering. So I think at first that was, you know, the condition for the program to start. But now it looks like we might get to sing again in a room with people. Maybe it was like two people, but you know, still.
Yeah, I guess that was the limit, right? Like, you can do that, but you can only have like two people singing. I'm like, I can like do that at home. Like I have Garage Band and like Guitar Hero and whatever Rock Band to do that.
But it's the whole experience. It's the Tyoheng experience, girl. You got to get in there with a friend and yell the fuck.
Yes, like, that's true.
I don't know how to say it. It's like, it's a whole, I don't know. I don't want to say pilgrimage, but it's a rite of passage for everybody.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, I think the Trace Together app, and beyond the app, if you don't want to download the app, you can get like a little like token, but you still have to have it on you. So, you know, look, I think this was, to me, like, I felt like this was always going to happen. Like, they'll be like, yeah, it's for quote unquote only safe entry and tracing together. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, go ahead. Download it. Put it on your phone. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like just because of the info, like, it tracks your proximity to another user. So it's like, if somebody was technically under a criminal, like, investigation, I guess with this data, you could track who this user has been in contact with, when, what time, and for how long. So it's like, you get access to literally a shitload of data that is, like, meant to be private, I would say.
And like you said, it's not accurate, because, you know, when you turn on your Bluetooth, like I used to app, and you have, like, you know, it randomly, like, connects, like, to other, like, users and whatnot, like, information is exchanged, like, no one knows what's happening, you know. Like, I think this needs to be a little bit more, like, transparency to this, and you can't just, like, make up, like, rules as you go along, you know. And I think like, if it was clear, then I think maybe people would be like, okay, we understand. Yeah, we're signing up for this thing at our own risk, whatever. Yeah, so let's hope, you know, that we don't let this one slide.
I don't know. If the people, like, lose trust in this contact tracing app, it doesn't work well, because we're still in the pandemic, believe it or not. So it's like, we're going to have other pandemics, dude. But how this is handled for this pandemic is going to be, it's going to set a precedence for, like, the next few pandemics. Hopefully won't have it, but, you know, who knows?
Well, Summer, it's a good thing that you brought that up, because if you don't want to be in Singapore, or if you don't want to use the Trace Together app, well, you can actually buy Singapore and buy different parts of Singapore in our next story. So Carousell, which is a popular online marketplace, shut down Troll to put Singapore up for sale. So this is a kind of a comical story where our buy and sell platform, Carousell, had to shut down a whole bunch of, like, troll accounts because they started listing Singapore, our beloved prime minister, the Parliament House, and a whole bunch of, like, other, like, personalities and places in Singapore for different prices. So you could actually, like, bid for all of these things. Lee Hsien Loong, our PM, was up for sale at 5 mil. Pretty good deal.
Oh, so a bit, Carousell, like, I don't know, is there a discount? Can I pay with, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you can bargain. You can bargain, you can use CaraPay. I think that's a thing. The Parliament House was actually being sold for, really expensive, 900 trillion. The Singapore Zoo is really, like, really cheap, 600 grand. It's cheaper than a Bishan HDB. And then the Jewel Changi Airport was only 8 mil. And if you really wanted a great deal, Summer, you could get DJ Dkosh for 100 big ones. 100 bucks.
Oh,
that's it.
That's it. That's so nice. I would like to buy it and throw it away immediately. So I will do that. Thank you very much.
Instant return policy on that one. And then, of course, if you wanted to buy our beloved Island City, it would cost you, actually, not that expensive. Only 50 million. Only 50 million. Yeah.
I feel like socialite Jamie Chua could buy that in a snap. Locals buy the country already.
That's quite funny. And of course, you live in the west side of the island, and Jurong East MRT was only 50 grand. Whole MRT for sale. Whole MRT. All the stuff you want to. And you can even eat and drink at a station. No one will bother you.
Oh, get the red line and the green line and the bus interchange. Value for money. Somebody get that.
Which was, yeah. So, I mean, obviously these trolls were having a bit of fun, and I thought this is kind of cute. I wish, like, I had seen them, because I would definitely have bid for a couple of those things. Like, you know, give me good price. Give me good price, please.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to buy Jurong East station just so, you know, on peak hour, it's not so crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. That's all I'm trying to do.
You're just buying all the stations. It's like Monopoly, like real life Monopoly, and then, like, exactly. Like, make people pay extra. So that's actually a good marketing campaign idea. Maybe just change a whole island to Monopoly pieces.
Oh God, I hope I don't land on jail. So over in Bangkok, travel alert. Bangkok travelers must now quarantine in these 26 provinces.
Oh no.
Oh. Gosh, but yeah, residents of Bangkok and other areas with a high number of COVID-19 cases, including Chonburi and Nuthaburi, must quarantine for 2 weeks if they travel to any of the 26 provinces imposing new travel restrictions. Oh my gosh, but Thailand, you were doing so well. What happened?
Like, I know.
I remember a time when like Singapore had more cases, but now you guys have beat us. But it's not something to brag about, but still.
Yeah, they were the gold standard. Bangkok and Thailand, you guys were the gold standard. And now, and now this.
I know, right? But yeah, 26 provinces, including Chiang Mai, Nakhon, Ratchasima, and others, have issued regulations requiring travelers from 28 locales deemed high risk to report themselves to the authorities and submit to 2 weeks of quarantine at provincial accommodations. And yeah, these 27 provinces and the capital is at high risk because they have more than 50 coronavirus cases or are adjacent to those that do. Not going to read all of those countries. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's basically like a shitload, right? Like, I think like it's like 28, I think that's like 28 red zones. And basically it's like every like town or province that you can think of, it's unfortunately part of the red zone.
Yeah, some of them like Chiang Mai and Buriram are offering an option for so-called red zone travelers to pay for COVID-19 tests. And if they come back negative, they can forego quarantine. And in Buriram, the test fee is 600 baht. So that's like $20, while Chiang Mai has not announced its cost. So it's like, man, you guys had like kind of domestic travel for a while.
Yeah.
Bam.
And now it's gone. Yeah. Unfortunately, like, yeah, you know, Thailand's in lockdown, sort of like in lockdown. I think you can't like dine out. I think you can only dine out to like 7 p.m. A lot of places are working from home. It's a little crazy once again. But let's just hope that, you know, these are all protocols being put in place. We've done it once. We can do it again. And it was effective for the first time. So hopefully, you know, they can kick this in the butt and get everything under control once again.
Yeah, man. That bitch, Ms. Rona.
Well, Hong Kong, it's raining cash. Wads of cash was tossed out of a Tun Mun apartment this past week, startling a whole bunch of onlookers as they saw the colorful notes like float down to them. Different denominations of Hong Kong dollars from like 10 bucks to 500 bucks, which is basically like US $1.25 to roughly about like US 65 bucks, were found all across this ledge in a Sean King estate block. Different people started seeing this cash like being thrown out of the window. And then you finally found out that, it was like a little playful child who was like shoving the money out, and his dad like found out later on. Luckily, passersby and different residents at the place gave the cash to security or police or returned it to them. So hopefully he did not lose. Hopefully he did not lose like any of the money. But yeah, don't throw money or keep everything in crypto.
Invest in Bitcoin. I don't know shit about any of that, so I will not be recommending anything for real. But it sounds like this dude was watching too many Lil Wayne music videos, because like
he was making it rain.
Making it rain. It's a rapper to be. A rapper to be. But I never threw, I feel like as a child, like I never like, okay, first of all, like hopefully like there were railings or grills like on those windows. Like, why is the kid like even close to the window, like being able to throw out stuff? And also like, I feel like, is that fun? Like, I feel like I would want to see, I don't know if the kid had like, you know, visuals on the cash, like, you know, floating down. But, you know, like if I was going to throw something out of the window, like I would want to see what damage it does or, you know, what good it does. If I was a kid. First of all, don't throw anything outside your window. Killer litter. And number two, don't have your kids near any windows.
And keep your money, goddamn.
Yeah. That's true. That's the other thing. Maybe he's just rich, man. Maybe just like, it's like, you know, I'm just going to have lots of cash hanging out. I mean, he had 645 bucks of cash, like US. And I was like, do I even have that much cash like in my bank account? I don't. Like, I don't even have that much cash.
Well, like, he's like, you know, we should like denounce capitalism today. He's going to engage in a little socialism.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's an activist at heart, a young, budding activist.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Hong Kong definitely needs those.
Oh, but yes, over in KL, police probe Penang restaurant for alleged propaganda over Mao Zedong wallpaper. Holy shit!
Oh my gosh!
But yes, a Chinese cuisine restaurant decorated with communist-themed wallpaper was raided by the police for allegedly spreading propaganda. And yeah, you got to see these pictures for sure, because like, we know like different people have like different styles of interior decor, but this one is something else. It's something else. But yeah, the wallpaper at Xiangke Lila restaurant in Penang's Icon City Road was designed with images of the late Communist Party leader Mao Zedong, as well as caricatures of other figures donning the signature green communist uniforms. Police told reporters over the weekend that the wallpaper had been removed from the outlet and the restaurant's other branch in Pulau Tikus. Four cups designed with images of Mao were also seized, and the owner of the restaurant was serving his COVID-19 quarantine when the raid took place, according to the police, adding that they had acted on a tip-off. A 23-year-old store manager was arrested instead. Poor child, but not really, you were complicit.
Amazing.
Yep, so videos circulating online showed the police stripping the wallpaper off of the restaurant's walls, and it's quite a sight to behold. It's like there is offensive interior decor, i.e. maybe furry sofas, I don't know. But then there's really offensive interior decor. This one takes the damn cake.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is like next level.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it is of like a kind of interior design choice. Like, would you put pictures of Trump on your wallpaper? No, because he's ugly. But on the other end, like, he's a horrible person. So I don't know. It's just like strange to kind of rationalize the thought process between interior design here.
This is a weird choice of like, I mean, yeah, it's like you kind of know. I feel like sometimes people know that they're doing something really kooky or crazy, but then they just do it anyway, you know? And I don't know whether it's like the shock factor of it, because obviously, I don't know, in this case, bad press is not really good press because, you know, they had to rip off the wallpaper and the restaurant's now closed. So yeah, not a good call, man. Not a good call. Like one job, really. Like one job.
I know, right? And I love the little detail that they took away the four cups where you had Mao Zedong's photo on it. The four cups. Fuck y'all. We're taking them. And our guest for this week is our audience development manager, Julianne, who's going to run through with us what the top stories of 2020 were. As you know, it has been an amazing year in more ways than one. So with such a year, what are our readers, you know, reading? So Julianne, hi.
Hi, welcome Summer. To the show. Hi, thanks for having me.
Woohoo! So happy new year, first of all. How are you?
Good, happy new year. Cautiously optimistic about what's ahead.
Same.
jinxed it. I think you guys jinxed it. It's been jinxed. It's jinxed.
But yeah, it's absolutely been a wild year. So like, what was the wildest thing that we've reported on, do you think?
So I have a nice little roundup of 10 of the most wild things we did. Should we go down the list?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because I think like Summer and I have been covering this the whole year, but I feel like we forget. This has been so much like crazy shit has been happening. Like I feel like forget like all the things that have happened.
Yeah, they all kind of just blur together, but basically a lot of sex scandal and random viral internet goodness.
Of course.
And of course, animals. We love our animals at Coconuts.
Yes. It. I think that's the only like good thing that came out of 2020. So what's number 10? What's number 10, Julianne?
Number 10 was a story about a woman being abducted in broad daylight in Bangkok. In Bangkok.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. This was in like Prompong, right? Like, but it wasn't like a, like, wasn't it like not a woman? They like, ended up being like a dude. Yeah.
So the original report on December 8th was about a woman getting abducted, but then the follow up story was that it turned out to be a man.
Yeah.
And a Chinese spa mogul, no less.
Yes, sir. I remember this. It was like, but disgruntled like employees who weren't like being paid on time or something along that those lines, right? And then, yeah, they went to get him.
Oh damn! And then the next story was about your guys' city. Singapore commuters got packed into trains after services were cut to save money, and we had like a nice little photo sequence on that. of people being really on top of each other.
Unfortunately, yeah. And this was during a time where we had to be socially distant and no one was like, no one gave an F. Like, it was just like a mess.
Yeah, it seems like they didn't really have space to social distance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like all rules applied. Like, stay 1 meter apart until you get on the train. Then that's cool. Go kiss your friend. I'm just kidding. Those were the extra.
Wait, so but what is the situation now, Summer? Because I don't really use like public transport. Like, so is it like, are there still sort of like rules where you can only sit like, you know, like alternate seats, or you have to be 1 meter away from someone else? Like, what are the rules now?
That's just it. It's like, I guess the only one that can be enforced is that everyone should have a mask on. And they try to add little rules like don't talk on the train, but
people still do it.
How are you going to tell somebody to shut up? I wouldn't.
Oh, well. Yeah, because like, so during rush hour, is it still the same madness then?
Mm-hmm. It's absolute hell.
Oh, dear.
The next story, number 8, was also Singapore. We had a little mapping out project of every coronavirus infection. Yeah, that was clearly earlier on in the pandemic. If we did that now, I think the map would just be red. That was in February. The date on that article was February 7th, 2020.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I think in Singapore, like, it would only be like in two parts, right? Like, it would be like all the worker areas, like in Singapore, I feel, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I remember seeing that map because it was just so full and so detailed. I'm like, oh shit. I'm just thinking about our editor who had to, you know, physically dot all of those. Great job.
Yeah, shout out to the Singapore editor.
Woo-hoo!
The number 7 most read article in Coconuts was a Thai zoo was ordered to stop sending a chimp on a bicycle spraying disinfectant.
Oh no, poor guy. I remember the story. He had a mask though.
Yeah, the chimp was wearing a face mask.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, hey, chimps need jobs too, man. 2020 mm-hmm. was a tough year.
This economy.
Poor guy. So cute, though, but probably really, really abused. So let's hope he's fine now.
Yeah, the zoo said they were not forcing him to pedal on the bike and they were pulling him by a leash, but I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what he wants to do, like spray disinfectant across people and places.
Yeah, and have we checked how effective spraying disinfectant into the air in a fine mist actually works? You know, like, has it been real helpful in lowering the cases?
But having said that, if I was going to be sprayed on by, you know, disinfectant, I would like it to be sprayed on by like a chimp.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Me too. And for story number 6 was a sequence of photos of Malaysia's empty malls after a new wave of COVID-19 infections.
Mm.
So malls that were usually quite busy, just totally empty. And that came out in September.
I feel like if you ever wanted to film like a post-apocalyptic like zombie movie, like this would be the perfect time. Like, that would have been the perfect time, running around like an empty mall.
True. And yeah, I'm just remembering like all the other articles, or like this one other article that was showing like, you know, the stuff in malls going moldy, and it was like shoes and bags and cinema seats and whoo, talk about dystopian movie. That would have been the perfect backdrop.
Oh, gross. Gross.
So number 5 on the most read coconut stories was about Jollibee, a Filipino fast food chain, for those who know it. They phased out 2 of their iconic meals, the 1/3 pounder burger, along with a rice meal called the Big Burger Steak.
Mm. Yeah, I've actually had the Big Burger Steak. It's actually like a steak meal, but it's just like steak, like a burger patty, a couple burger patties with like cream of mushroom soup and then like rice. It's like the most random meal. But you know what? Kind of enjoyable. Kind of enjoyable. Unfortunately, you just have to make your own now.
Oh, but I love that this is like one of the top stories. Like any news about Jollibee, it's serious business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't fuck with our food fans, man.
Yeah, there's a pandemic and everything, but Jollibee, that's the most important.
That's all we have.
Mm-hmm.
Our number four most read story on coconuts was about a Garuda Indonesia scandal. That's Indonesia's flag carrier airline.
Yeah.
One of the former mistresses of an airline executive was testifying against a whistleblower against a prostitution scandal involving pilots and executives on the airline. So quite dramatic.
Yep, all these like scandals. I feel like it's a year of like scandals being found or people being part of scandals. I think we're all like 7 degrees away from someone who was in a scandal.
And it's like all of this is being exposed when most of us are indoors most of the time. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
we're thirsty for this kind of stuff.
We're not the only ones that were thirsty, but I'm bummed.
Speaking of sex scandals or thirstiness, our number three most read story on coconuts this year was a Burmese doctor turned OnlyFans star. And she made her fortune on OnlyFans rather than from her medical work.
Love to see it. Honestly, like, she was making bank, if I remember correctly. And it's like, she doesn't need to be a doctor.
Yeah, why go to medical school when you can make way more on OnlyFans?
And she was, and she was asked not to return to work, which is like, okay, your loss.
I know. You know, the weird thing is that, like, the nerd in me, like she has a couple of nude photos, like, that we posted, well, covered nude photos, and I was trying to figure out like which Spider-Man comic book she was like covering herself with. So I was like, is that valuable? I feel like it's valuable, like the Amazing Spider-Man series. Like, so she might be like sitting on a boon of like not just OnlyFans but comic books that she could sell.
Yeah, and all the messages of a weird nature that she would get, and all among all of that is one from you asking about the comic book. Amazing.
Yeah, I should actually like tweet her about that.
All right, moving on. Our second most popular story on coconuts this year was the former Miss Universe Catriona Gray decried an alleged nude photo of herself.
But it wasn't, right? Like, it wasn't a, like, they thought it was her, but she said it was fake.
Yeah, alleged.
Allegedly.
Interesting.
Yeah, she said the photo was fake and digitally altered. Or that's what her lawyer said, at least.
But you know what? Like, I mean, with like all these like deep fakes and whatnot, like, you know, you just never know. Like, you know, like it's so horrible. Like, that tech is so crazy. Tech, in a good way, you can bring back like actors or people in films that you haven't seen in years, or like de-age people, but I guess you can use the same tech to kind of create scandals. Allegedly. Allegedly.
And without further ado, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Drum roll, please.
The most read story on coconuts for all of 2020 was about a guy's pet beta fish or arowana fish getting fried up by his father in Indonesia.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, it's still weird because like I still kind of want to eat that fish. Is that still weird? I wanted to eat it when we covered the story, and I feel like I still want to kind of eat it. At least like taste it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's, I don't know, maybe $1,000, I kind of want to taste what $1,000 house pet would taste like, maybe. Oh gosh, also, no, that's a weird thought.
I guess like I'm not like up to the date with like my fish knowledge, but do you think like all like white fish just taste the same or no? Like, do fish have like different flavors? I feel like they just take the flavor of whatever you put it in. Like, if you made it like into like fish curry, like it's just gonna taste like fish curry, right? Or am I wrong about this completely?
I think a big thing is the freshness of the fish, but because this was his son's pet fish, I imagine it was super fresh.
Super fresh. Little arowana sashimi. Well, thank you, Julianne, for your top 10 countdown. What are you hoping for 2021?
Less craziness, but I don't think that's going to happen based on what we woke up to this morning happening in the US.
Oh dear. Yes. Starting 2021 with a bang.
Indeed.
Thanks, Julianne.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So thank you to Julianne for giving us a lowdown of the 2020 top stories. I forgot a couple of them, but then as we were reading them down, as we were counting them down, they came back fresh.
Yep, I know what you mean. It's like it's been a whole weird ass year. So the different weird stories that we've covered are just, it's nice to revisit them, you know, to realize just how freaking weird each one was in their own right.
Yeah. We do love our like influencers being naughty or sex scandals and viral posts, but let's hope that, you know, all the negative stories are at a minimum this year and, mm-hmm. you know, just a hot goss and hot juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it for this week. We have a great guest next week, so please tune in. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership, make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron, or buy a fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you. The Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by a journalist on the ground in 8 cities: Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong.
The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Summer Lee and Vim Shamugam. Our executive producer is Byron Perry. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez, and our editor is Raina Lim.